All right, we are on to lesson number 7 in our series, and learning about the grace of God in different individuals' lives. And today we're looking into the gospel according to John, chapter number 21. So if you have a Bible, go with me to John chapter 21, and we're going to be looking into the life of Peter. And as I was preparing this, looking into this, the timing could not have been better. This is a perfect timing for the particular Sunday that we're in right now, and that being Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And so I trust that this lesson will be a blessing to you. The theme of the lesson is grace for a second chance. Now again, if you have read your Bible or been in church for any length of time, then you know why Peter, it was said of Peter that he needed grace for a second chance. And if you've never heard about that, we're going to talk about that in this Sunday School Hour. I'd like to pray one more time, and then we're going to get into the lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the ability to be able to have live stream church today in the days in which we are living, that we cannot gather together over on Armstrong Avenue here in Burnaby, BC. Thank you that we can do it this way. We welcome everyone who is listening today from here and from other places within Canada and around the world. And we welcome maybe some that will be listening after the live stream as well. Father, we pray, number one, that you would be pleased by this service, that you would be honored in all of what we're going to say, that you would control the teaching right now. And then, Lord, we would pray that God's children would be challenged from the Word of God regarding this theme today. And then we would pray for anyone that's listening in this hour and the hour to follow that is not saved. They do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They do not have the assurance that if they were to die, even on this day, that they would be in heaven. And we pray for so many that have already heard the gospel today in all the different live streams. We heard of even one of our missionaries that was talking to him about the message that they had heard. And we pray, Lord, that that individual, if not saved, would get saved even now. And Lord, you know who we're praying for. And all the different people that heard the gospel today via live stream, we pray for a harvest of souls. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, the lesson begins with this statement. The most defining moment in human history has just taken place. Wouldn't you know it, it's referring to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most people at that time that knew about it were greatly excited. They were rejoicing, except for one in particular man. And his name that we're talking about today is Peter. Let's go back into Peter's life. Let's go back into Peter's life and the life of this time period for a few moments. And let's just remember 3 days ago. Again, we're thinking right now of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Pastor Nathan, can I move this? All right, we're thinking about the resurrection. And so the night of the crucifixion, the Bible tells us that Peter denied the Lord how many times, church? That's right, 3 times. He denied the Lord 3 times. And so now, here we are, the Lord has resurrected, and Peter is remembering the denial. Denial once, denial twice, denial 3 times. And I'm sure he's ashamed of himself. And in fact, the Bible tells us that he went back to his old profession. How many of you remember what Peter was involved in before he got called into ministry? Who remembers? Yes, that's right. I see your hands out there in radio land. Well, not radio land, but in live stream land. I know all of you said in unison, fisherman, right? He was a fisherman. And so that's exactly where we find him in John's Gospel, chapter number 21. Look, if you will, with me, actually, in verse number 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a," what? "Fishing." I go a fishing. They say unto him, "We also go with thee." And boy, there's the power of influence right there. The power of influence. Peter said, "I'm going back to fishing," and look who went with him. They followed him along. They followed the leader. You know, Peter was kind of bold and kind of upfront, and that's a good thing if it's following the Lord. I mean, look who jumped out of the boat when in the midst of the storm. Nobody but Peter walked on water, took a few steps, began to sink. We know that story. And so here's Peter, a great leader, and they went back to fishing. And guess what? They went out fishing that first night, and they just filled the boat right up with fish. No, that's not what happened. In fact, the Bible says that they went forth in verse 3 and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught zero, nothing. And I've been there before. I remember going fishing with several people. In fact, I remember going fishing with Pastor Andy Bediria. If you listen to this, Pastor Bediria, you made it into the Sunday school lesson today. One time we caught a lot of fish, but the next time we caught nothing. We were just like Peter and these fishermen right here. I don't think we were running from the Lord, though, but we were just out trying to catch some salmon here in BC, but we caught nothing. Well, here's Peter sitting in the boat. He's not catching anything. Can you imagine what was going through his mind as they were waiting for fish? Nothing was happening. That's one thing. I know this is not throwing a line in the water. This is throwing the nets in and bringing them in and all that. But obviously, they must have had some downtime. They must have had some time to really think. While Peter's thinking, what's he thinking about? I think, you know what? I believe he's thinking about, you know, I denied Jesus three times. I really let the Lord down. I think he's thinking about that night before Jesus was crucified when he spoke up, and we'll talk about it in a minute, when he spoke up so boldly and said, I would die for you, Jesus. And that's not what he did. He denied the Lord. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, the Bible says in verse 54, then took they him and led him, speaking of Jesus, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. You know what? Think about those two words, afar off. Maybe you would underline them. I know you're not in Luke right now, but you could turn over there while I'm talking and maybe underline them or think about those two words, afar off, afar off. Choosing to keep our distance from Jesus always results in failure and regret. Now, that's kind of a buzzword right now, isn't it? Keeping our distance. I'm tired of that, by the way. Keeping our distance. But let's not think about COVID-19. Let's think about Jesus. And if you're not close to the Lord, I can tell you one thing that's coming, Christian. Eventually, regret is coming if you don't stay close to the Lord. I can tell you right now, another thing that's coming if you don't stay close to the Lord, failure. If there's something that I want to do in the Christian life, I want to succeed. How about you? How many of you want to succeed out there? Raise your hand right now in your living room, in your kitchen. Raise your hand. We got two people raising their hands here. Great. I'm glad they did too. And so, yes, we want to succeed. We want to be a success. Joshua 1:8 talks about it. That we can be a success if we have a close relationship with the Word of God and not let it depart from our mouth and meditate day and night. And then we're going to be prosperous and we're going to be a good success. Well, isn't it interesting? Peter was following the Lord, but from a distance. You know what? That's what we have today in Christianity. We have too many Christians that are following the Lord from a distance, afar off. That wording just really jumps off the pages, doesn't it? Afar off. Then we read on in Luke's Gospel chapter 22 in verse 60 where it says, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. To me, this is one of the most, captivating. I don't know if that's the right word. But I think time stopped in verse 61. It would have in my life if I was Peter. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Wow. Can you imagine that? I mean, to me, time would have stood still. I just denied Jesus for the third time. It had only been hours ago when I said I would die for him. And now I've denied him and he's looking right at me. In the emotion of the moment and the oppressive weight of guilt and the shame, I'm sure must have come over Peter's heart. Peter decides to go back to fishing. Peter is, I'm sure, depressed, he's discouraged, he's defeated, he's probably mad at himself, and he has failed the Lord. I love the song that talks about, he has never failed me. I have failed the Lord, but he has never failed me. Isn't that great? God's never failed us. It's not great that we failed him, but it sure is great that he's never failed us. And we can relate to Peter, okay? You know, this isn't pick on Peter Sunday. You know, PP, pick on Peter Sunday. That's not what it is. It's, hey, let's look at Peter and let's see ourselves at times. Let's look at Peter and see that, hey, this is the path that we have trod as well. Well, in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16, this is all in reference really to what we're talking about all day today. And again, it's amazing how the Lord put this together, because this isn't, I mean, I didn't plan this at all, that we would be talking about Peter's denial and the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection in Sunday school on the day of the resurrection. But in Mark 16 and 7, there's a group of ladies that had gone to the garden to see Jesus, and the angel told them about the Lord being resurrected. Look at Mark 16 and verse number 7. These are all right next to each other in the Gospels, John, Luke, now Mark 16. But notice what Jesus said, or notice what the angels told them in verse 7. But go your way, tell his disciples, what's the next two words? And Peter. You got to underline those words in your Bible. Here, the message was, go tell all the disciples, but only one is listed. That's something else, if you ask me. Now, Peter's the only one that betrayed him, but hey, everyone else turned tail and ran too, except John. John was at the foot of the cross. But here we see the message of Jesus is this. He wants Peter to know, I still love you. And by the way, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ loves you today. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ loves me today, and not just when I'm doing right, but he loves me when I've failed him, as I said a moment ago. He loves me when I've disappointed him. He loves me when maybe I have followed him from afar off like Peter had done. And so let's look at our outline today. If you're from Anchor Baptist Church, you have the book. You can take some notes and write the blank, fill in the blanks. And even if you're not, you can take some notes as well. So number one, we see the pursuit of Christ. The pursuit of Christ. Maybe you remember this song from Sunday school, or maybe you remember this song from junior church. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. The pursuit of Christ. Where we began our series, or where we began this lesson a few moments ago, the background of the passage is what I mentioned a moment ago. Peter and several other disciples had been fishing all night. They hadn't caught anything. Well, the next morning, a stranger comes to them. Let's go to chapter 21, back to John 21, verse number 4. The Bible says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Letter A, we see a personal pursuit. A personal pursuit. Jesus could have given up on Peter. Jesus could have gone to someone else. Jesus could have given up on any of these men that are in the boat, but he proactively reaches out to Peter. He proactively, personally goes after Peter. And the Lord Jesus Christ shows that in his going to the Sea of Galilee here, or Sea of Tiberias, excuse me, here, and wanting to let these men know, I love you. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Here we see an occurrence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It notes that he actually appeared to Simon Peter personally. Look at Luke 24, 34. The Bible says they're saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to who, class? Simon. So he appeared to Simon at some point. 1 Corinthians 15, 5, it says that he was seen of Cephas. That's talking about Simon. And then of the 12. And so he, the Lord Jesus Christ, over and over again, personally tries to pursue Peter, even though Peter had failed him. You know, I'm thankful today. Here I am. Here we are in Burnaby, broadcasting the message, the church service today. I'm thankful. I'm 46 years of age, and I'm thankful that there was a time in my life, and it's still happening, but there was a time in my life when the Lord Jesus Christ pursued me for salvation. You know, I don't know who's listening to me right now, but I know this, that there could be many of you that are listening that do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, I want to challenge you today on this Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the 12th of April, 2020. We're in the middle of the most unusual time probably in all of our lives. I want you to know this, that Jesus Christ is pursuing you for salvation. Jesus Christ, you are alive today, but by the grace of God. I am alive today, but by the grace of God. And I want you to know the Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You find that in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 19 and verse number 10. Today, I want you to know that God is seeking to save your soul. If you're not saved, if you say, Pastor Ben, I'm listening, Pastor Turner, I'm listening to the sermon, I'm listening to Sunday school right now, and I do not know if I died right this moment, I do not know that I would be in heaven. I want you to know that you can email me at anchorbaptistburnaby@gmail.com. I know that's a lot to take in. anchorbaptistburnaby@gmail.com. You know, we can put that, we'll write that in the comment section right now on the live feed on Facebook, anchorbaptistburnaby@gmail.com. And you can email me and say, Pastor Ben, you know, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow to do that. Do it right now. I will get back in touch with you before the day is over, and I can help you to know how to be saved from the Word of God. So please reach out to us. Let us help you. We have people that can help you. That's my personal email address. I'll be glad to help you to understand it. Why? God is pursuing you. There's no time to wait. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. God is pursuing you to be saved. God pursued the Samaritan woman. God pursued a little guy. What was his name? Zacchaeus. God pursued him. He wasn't a little guy. He was a little man. The Bible says he was short of stature. So it's a personal pursuit. Letter B, it is a persistent pursuit. A persistent pursuit. God doesn't stop. Jesus doesn't stop. He continues. Notice, if you will, in our text, let's go back. To John chapter 21, John chapter 21, and I'm looking for verse number 15, verse number 15. Notice it says there, so when they had dined, Jesus, maybe you had a nice meal already today for Easter Sunday. Praise the Lord for food. Hey, praise the Lord. I mean, we ought to be thankful for what we have. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And you know, notice there in verses 16 and 17, he says the same question three times. Lovest thou me more than these? Over and over again, three times. Lovest thou me? But I want you to notice the word more. The word more. The word more there means with superiority, if I can speak, with superiority, or excellence. Jesus said, do you love me more than fill in the blank? Jesus says to you this afternoon, do you love me more than, and what is the word more with superiority? You know what I wonder today? You know, again, I don't mean to keep reiterating this, but so many things have changed in 4 weeks. You know, this is our fourth Sunday of online church, and so many things that people loved are no longer available to them. And maybe that would be of me, and maybe that would be of you as well. There's nothing wrong with loving recreation. There's nothing wrong with loving, to a degree, loving sports or loving things of this nature. But notice the word more. The problem is when something that is in my life that I love more than Jesus, when something in my life has more of my attention than Jesus does, we have a problem. We could say that has become an idol. If I love it more, or if it has more of my attention than Jesus. And he asked Peter that three times. I want you to ask yourself, do I have another master in my life? You know, the Bible says we cannot serve two masters. The Bible says in Luke 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Do you have a second master in your life? You shouldn't. You only want to have one. We only want to have one. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to be that. Well, number one, we saw the pursuit of Christ. We must hasten. Number two, we see not only the pursuit of Christ, but we see the proving of Peter. The proving of Peter. Jesus was probing Peter's heart. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Peter had denied him three times. Well, that came from Peter's heart. You know, we might think our heart is everything. Our heart is completely right, and there's a song that talks about that. Is your heart right with God? Well, I tell you what, dear believers, let's examine our. Let's let the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, examine our heart. He's probing his heart. Again, three times denied him. Three times he asked him the question, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Now, maybe some of you know this, but Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? Now, love, when we look at it in English, you know, we may think of it in different various levels of love. Well, it's translated from Greek words that mean totally different things about love than we might with just one word. So the word Jesus is saying is, Peter, do you love me? He's saying, Peter, do you agape me? A-G-A-P-E, the Greek word agape, okay? That is the highest level of love, okay? So he's asking Peter, do you love me more than anyone else? Again, remember, lovest thou me more than these. Do you agape me more than these? It is selfless. It is unconditional. And so he's asking Peter, do you have this agape level of love for me? And when Peter answers him, again, we have our Bible in English. You may have it in another language that are watching today. Praise the Lord for that. But it wasn't written in English to begin with. It was written in Greek, which is why we're giving those definitions. Peter responded by saying, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Only he wasn't saying I agape you. He was saying I phileo you. P-H-I-L-E-O. P-H-I-L-E-O. I phileo you. Which means, so Jesus was saying, Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Do you love me with superiority? And Peter was saying, yes, I love you like a friend. Well, you know, I know the Bible does say a friend loveth at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Peter is saying, you know what? I love you like a friend would love someone. Not like, hopefully a husband and wife are seeking that agape love for one another. Quite frankly, the only way I can love someone with agape love is if Jesus enables me to love them, because it's the highest level. It's the level of love that he has for me. And yes, flowing through me, I can have that love if I'm anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. That wasn't what Peter was saying, though. Peter was saying, yes, Lord, I love you like a friend. Jesus wanted agape love. Peter was saying, I love you with friendship. What once was agape love, I'm sure, had now diminished into phileo love. You see, the world today is full of love, only it's not an agape love, it's a self-serving love. Most times, we will love someone, and I'm not talking just to the lost, I'm talking to us sometimes too. We love someone who loves us, which is why we should love the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ, and I hope, church, can you listen carefully? Can you listen carefully? I hope your love for your brothers and sisters of Anchor Baptist Church is growing right now. I hope you didn't take it for granted to begin with, but if you did, I hope now you're saying, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Forgive me for only talking to the people that sit within a row of me at church and not trying to branch out. And I don't think we have that, but maybe I said that for two people. I don't even know who they are. But if it touches your bone, let it touch your bone. I'm just saying, I'm hoping that we are recognizing that our love for the family of God is so important. And whoever's listening today, I hope you understand that that is important. Well, because remember, think about it. When Jesus came in triumphantly a week prior to this. Now again, the timeline is that Jesus rode in and everybody was saying, Hosanna, 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 praise the Lord, you know. And they were laying down those palm branches and so forth like that. And a week later, where was everybody? Where was Peter? He denied him three times. Went out and wept bitterly. So again, the love level wasn't where it needed to be. I want to strive, and I want to encourage you to strive for this strong level, this agape level of love. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with most of thy heart. With some of thy heart. No, it's not what it says. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Agape. Without real devotion to the Lord, we cannot expect victory in our Christian walk. Several days later, on the day of Pentecost, Peter would boldly preach the gospel, Acts 2:14-41. See, God was doing a work in Peter's heart, because remember, prior to the crucifixion, Peter was pretty much self-assured. This is what we were talking about earlier. He boldly said, cry to the Lord, hey, stop talking about that. If you, I'll die for you, Luke chapter 22, verse 31-34. And that's when Jesus corrects him and says, you're going to deny me before the cock crows twice. You're going to deny me three times. The Lord Jesus Christ was praying for Peter there. What a great testimony. We've got to move along. Letter A, approving by his labor. So approving by his love. Letter B, approving by his labor. We're going back now to the conversation of Jesus and Peter, and he uses the word feed. You see that in verse 15? Feed in verse 15, 16, also in verse 17. The word feed. The word feed there is, it means being devoted to the Lord's service as an under-shepherd who cares for the Lord's flock. We have a responsibility as we grow in grace to do this, to build others up who are weak in the faith. That's one reason why gathering together as a church family is vital, okay? Because you will, it's not just because Pastor Turner said to, or because it says in Hebrews to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, it's because the family of God is to edify one another. And when we're gathering together, there's a weak brother, there's a strong brother. And the next week, the weak brother is the strong brother maybe this week. And the weak brother, or the strong brother is now the weak brother. I'm confusing myself, but you know what I'm saying. We help one another. We encourage one another. That's what that word feed means. So when we come to church, it's not about just open our mouth and every week the pastor pours it into us. No, we should be giving out. We should be taking what we're learning and giving it out to others. That's what Jesus is saying there, to feed my sheep. Peter himself, years later, would pen two books of the Bible, 1 Peter 1 and 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want to read to you a little bit of 1 Peter chapter 5, two books, 1 Peter 1 and 2 Peter. I think I said two chapters. Two whole books of the Bible, 1 and 2 Peter. There we go. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Isn't this something? This is exactly what Peter was told to do in John chapter 21. Feed. Feed the sheep. Feed the lambs. Now Peter, after growing in grace, he's writing to believers like you and believers like me, that what are we supposed to do? And I know the application here to the pastor, but feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. Disciple, train, pass on what we've been told. Again, I've been listening to Pastor Sexton in one of the master's classes, and one of the things that he talks about a lot is, I don't speak to be heard, I speak to be repeated. And I've probably said that maybe every Sunday. That's okay. And I'm trying to learn from what he's saying. I'm trying to repeat him now. And that's what we want as believers. We want to help people who are new in the faith to not know what we say, but what the Word of God says. And so we see the pursuit of Christ. Number two, we see the proving of Peter. Now we look at number three. And that is the priority of the Christian. The priority of the Christian. Earlier I said, I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm thankful to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I die, I'm going to be in heaven. Several people that we know and love, and some of you that know and love, have passed away in recent days. Some from the virus. Some from cancer. My own aunt passed away of cancer within the last little bit of time. And I'm thankful to know that these family members that knew the Lord, we're going to see them again. You know what? While we have life, let's remember this. Jesus did not save us simply so that we could not go to hell. In fact, Jesus did not save us to just go to heaven. We talked about on Wednesday night that he wants us to be close to him. What I'd like to say here is Jesus did not save me to live for myself. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his, which are God's. And so that's not why Christ saved me. He didn't save me to live for myself. He didn't save you to live for yourself. Letter A, he saved us to serve. To serve. Jesus told Peter to serve by feeding the lambs. Jesus wanted Peter, as I said a moment ago, to nurture young believers in the faith. He then went on to tell Peter to feed his sheep. The food that Peter is speaking of here, that Jesus is speaking of, was the milk and the meat of the Word of God. Turn with me quickly in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5, and let's look at verse number 12. Hebrews 5:12. The priority of the Christian is to serve. Oh, ask yourself today, how am I serving the Lord? How am I serving the Lord? May we not miss opportunities to serve the Lord. Look at Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know what? One of the things I've been praying about during this time, I've been praying for our church family and believers in general and lost people to be saved. But I've been really praying and trying to figure out how can we continue to disciple new believers. You know, that's one of the dynamics that we face right now of not being able to be within a close proximity of one another, is how do we disciple new believers? And you know, even when we were meeting together Sunday afternoon two times and Wednesday night for the midweek meeting, the concern always is that if someone who's a new believer isn't being fed and isn't being taught the principles of the Word of God, what happens? Well, the enemy's just pouncing. The enemy's ready. You know, the enemy can't get their soul now because they're saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But here's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to stop the multiplication process. See, the way that we need to be building our churches, well, we don't build our churches. The Lord Jesus Christ builds the church. But the way that we want to go about it, as we see in the Scripture, is by multiplication. In other words, we want to be telling someone who can tell someone who can tell someone. And that takes a lifetime. That doesn't just happen overnight. And I'm thankful for the new believers at Anchor Baptist Church. And I'm thankful for the teenagers, I'm saying, in the faith. And I'm thankful for the senior saints in the faith at Anchor Baptist Church. A church needs every group. A church needs new believers. A church needs maturing believers that are growing in grace. And so when someone accepts Christ as Savior but doesn't take in the Word of God, and if you're listening to me and you're a new believer, you need to be in the Word of God every day. If you're listening to me and you've been saved 5 years, you need to be in the Word of God every day. If you're listening to me and you've been saved 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you need to be in the Word of God every day. It is when we get away from the Word of God that the devil, that we are weak, and the devil knows when we are weak, and he attacks us. I'm so thankful for people that invested in my life, that served the Lord, and their service for the Lord meant feeding me. Well, how many of you can think today about a Sunday school teacher that you had in your past that they just, every Sunday, boom, they just taught the Word of God? They went out and worked a job Monday to Friday, came to church on Sunday, taught the Word of God. Went back and did the same job Monday to Friday, on Sunday, taught the Word of God. I had so many godly teachers in my life. I don't want to start naming them. I'm thinking of some right now. I had so many godly teachers in my life that nurtured me and equipped me. And what were they doing? They were serving the Lord. You know what? Their name was probably never was on a letterhead as a pastor. They served the Lord. They invested in way more people than just little old Ben Turner. Everybody else in that Sunday school class, all those teenagers that they had in their class, all those grade 6, 5 and 6 year old boys that they had in their class. I can't remember the Sunday school teachers I had much past 4th, 5th and 6th grade, somewhere in there. The rest, praise the Lord for them. I would think many of them might be with the Lord right now. I know some of them are. What I'm saying is this: we as God's people are to be feeding others. God did not save me simply to take it all in. You know the illustration of the sponge, don't you? A sponge is no good when it's full of water. The purpose of a sponge is to soak up water. So if you just soak up everything and you're not giving it out, I think God helps those who help others. Amen? And God gives us what we need to help other people, not just for ourselves. So the priority of the Christian is to serve. Number two, the priority of the Christian is to sacrifice. Now, if you know anything about the life of Peter, you know that he sacrificed. In fact, the Bible, history tells us that Peter, and even Jesus alludes to it, Peter would give his life for Christ. Peter would endure persecution. In fact, Peter would endure martyrdom for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go back to our original text that we looked at, John 21 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," this is Jesus speaking to Peter, John 21, verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This is a prediction, a prophecy, excuse me, I couldn't think of the word I wanted there, of the Lord, of Jesus telling Peter that someday, look at it, that someday thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. It's talking about how Peter would give his life eventually. History tells us that Peter, in AD 67, that Peter was put on a cross and crucified. And they were getting ready to crucify him, and he said, I don't want to be crucified like the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead, Peter was crucified upside down. It brings me and it reminds me of some of his writings once again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. He said there, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. What a statement. If ye suffer reproach, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. That means when reproach comes for the name of Christ in our life, God is glorified. When reproach comes in the name of Christ in our life, God is magnified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The Christian life often involves sacrifice. I wonder, as we bring the Sunday school lesson to a close, I want you to just think about it for a moment. What does sacrifice mean to you? Sacrifice. I've often talked about this at Anchor Baptist Church. If you're from Anchor Baptist Church, you know this. I have had the privilege of going to different places in the world, starting when I was a teenager and going to Mexico and being involved in a mission trip there a couple of times. And I know not all of Mexico is this way, but in Mexico, I believe, was still considered a third world country. And the places in Mexico that we went, the first time that we went into some very impoverished areas. And then another opportunity to go to El Salvador and Honduras and Liberia and Uganda, and the Philippines and other places. And I watched as some of the Christians there that I was able to observe and what they had to do to get to church and how they had to travel to get to church. And I wondered, would I have done that? And what they had in this way of this world's goods. And God gives grace to everyone. And I'm not saying sell everything that you have and live in an abject poverty. And say, you know, God's going to bless me if I do this. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, ask yourself, what is sacrifice? God didn't save me just to live my life for my honor and glory. He saved me to serve, but he saved me to sacrifice. Am I willing to sacrifice? Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 39, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What is sacrifice? I think I've told this illustration before of the pig and the chicken. And it was going to be mealtime. Maybe you know the story. It's going to be mealtime, and they're going to try to figure out, okay, what are we going to provide for the meal? And the conversation was going on. I guess, you know, pigs can talk and chickens can talk, if you've seen some of those movies where the animals talk. Anyway, they were having a conversation, and the conversation, you know, went something like this. You know, the chicken says to the pig, you know, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give a dozen eggs to the meal this morning. And wow, the pig was impressed. And the chicken says to the pig, you know, why don't you provide the ham, or why don't you provide the bacon? And the pig got to thinking, you know what, that's great, that's wonderful, but there's one problem. See, you're giving of yourself, and you're still alive, and you're just giving a little bit. Which, I mean, yes, you're giving 12 eggs. I mean, that's a huge thing to do. But he says, if I'm going to give the bacon and the ham, then I'm going to pay the ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to have to give my life. You see, there's a big difference when we look at the way we live our Christian life. Are we just wanting to give a little bit? Or are we willing to give everything? Are we just willing to give God, I'm just going to do so much for the Lord. You know, that's not why Jesus saved you. That's not why Jesus saved me. He needs to be the more of our life. You love me more than these? Jesus asks you today, do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than even your family? Do you love me more than your hobbies? Do you love me more than... He must be the highest priority of our life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What an amazing verse to end our Sunday school lesson on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus did not die and rise again for we as believers to live for ourselves. Let's get up. Maybe we need to get up. Let's get the grace we need as Jesus gave Peter grace for that second chance and third and fourth. A just man falleth seven times.